little bit more than mid screen, pop them up, shield slash, pop them up again, shield slash, charge star.
And welcome back to the Shot of Games podcast. This is our special episode 150. We were planning on some pretty cool stuff during this episode, you know, with Fidel, Wayne, Mimi, and
Mage.
And Mage, of course. How could I forget Mage? And myself, Jesse. Unfortunately, Fidel couldn't make it this time, so it's just going to be a regular special episode, not a very special episode. But yeah, I mean, we have quite a bit of news coming up. A lot of it is going to be very focused on Xbox. It's going to be very Xbox heavy. A lot of things going on with Xbox lately. Other than that, there isn't much else with anybody else going on. But before we get into the actual news, let's go over what kind of games we've been playing. Mimi, you want to start? What kind of games have you been playing?
I guess. It's been like 3 years and I'm still playing Animal Crossing.
All right.
Yay, my town hasn't, you know, imploded on itself. Thank God.
One of the last survivors.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys knew, but Pokemon put out a couple of those, you know, freemium games.
Oh, yeah.
So, right now I'm also playing Pokemon Rumble World. There's other games. There's Pokemon Rumble Blast for the 3DS, and there's Pokemon Rumble U for the Wii U. The Wii U version, you did little figurines that are...
Yeah, near field communication?
Yeah, it's that thing.
Yeah, the NFC, okay.
Yeah.
But, the game itself, the gameplay, I guess you can kind of say it's Melee. Would you call it a Melee game?
So, yeah.
Kind of.
Like all the other Rumble Blast kind of games.
Yeah.
Kind of go through and beat
Smash
the crap out of each other. Yeah.
Smash and bash. The way that it works in the new one, for the free one, is that you get these hot air balloons and you can travel to different islands, and then you find and catch Pokemon and you friend them and whatnot, which are the whole game mechanics. But the difference with the world, Pokemon Rumble World, is that you have the hot air balloons that take you to different islands, and they recharge every 30 minutes or so.
Okay.
So that's where it's kind of where the freemium comes in. You can purchase diamonds in game, and you can either purchase the diamonds or you can earn them daily. You can also earn them through street pass, where every 5 street passes you get a diamond. Sometimes you get them in game as well for, you know, fulfilling little missions and whatnot. So even though they're a freemium game, you still can earn diamonds without having to pay. And then you use the diamonds to buy different upgrades, such as new hot air balloons, different trees for your Pokemon, homes and stuff for them and whatnot. But it's a pretty good time killer. You just kind of run around smashing and bashing Pokemon.
It's our favorite kind of game.
Yeah. And it involves, like, literally no skill. Just pick your highest level Pokemon and go.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it.
Alright. Wing?
Well, I've, come back and did some more, Halo Master Chief Collection. Continue my quest to complete all the special ops, or Spartan ops all over again. I think I'm on episode 6, chapter like 2 or something, I think.
Hmm.
I don't know. As I get a chance, I'll go through and work on those. Other than that, been more Marvel Avengers Alliance on Facebook. We're currently in the Age of Ultron special ops, so we're working to unlock a new Hulkbuster Iron Man suit and some other stuff there. Actually looks up. It's actually pretty cool so far. I've actually really enjoyed it. I'm looking forward to finishing it. They've changed things around a little bit with this one, so there's 2 epic bosses in this one versus just one. So two of the missions have an epic boss. The second epic boss, you can only get to that epic boss once you complete the entire special ops, and then you can go back into that mission and beat everything and then access the epic boss, from what I understand. So that was a bit fun. On as far as other games, Transformers Rising, I'm continuing to try to build up a strong, powerful deck on that one. And then the other one, other Transformers based game. I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head right now. Woo! There it goes.
There we go with the blanks again.
Anyways, we're in a special episode right now of trying to recruit Bruticus and playing against Bruticus, the Combaticons, which is rather challenging at times, but it's good. We got a good league team going. So unfortunately, all the spots have been filled if you didn't join us yet. But yeah, it's been fun. I don't think I've really played much of anything else. I did finally update my older 360, but I didn't get a chance to play anything the other night. It just took too long to download.
Yeah.
But what about you, Jesse? What have you been playing?
Well, actually, I've been playing a lot of Smash Brothers since Mewtwo came out.
Nice.
Playing a lot of Smash, practicing with him, practicing with Jigglypuff. Just love it. Love shaming people with Jigglypuff.
Ooh.
It just brings a certain happiness. But, yeah, I've been playing that. Not too much of anything else.
Did you see the picture online? Why there are only 6 Pokemon this time in Smash?
No.
You only have 6 Pokemon on you at a time.
Ha. Ha ha. Ah, funny. I like it.
Oh, okay. Poor Ash.
That makes sense. Alright, well. Yeah, I don't think I've been playing much of anything else. A little bit of the, Marvel Contest of Champions on the, my Android. They just introduced the a new downloaded expansion for it. Also chronicling Age of Ultron. So they have added a bunch of heroes or champions, as they call them, to kind of play off the Avengers movie that's coming around. They gave me a Black Widow right off the bat. I think a 2-star Black Widow. So that's really nice. And yeah, that's it. Been catching up on some Daredevil.
Nice.
Yeah, nothing too spectacular recently.
Yeah, I finally got a chance to sit down and watch Mordecai the other night.
How was that?
It was mildly amusing.
Yeah, it didn't get rave reviews, but
it's a solid movie if you understand, if you actually watch it the way it's intended to be watched and not expect, you know, the awkward, you know, high energy character you normally get from Johnny Depp. You know, I mean, it's there, but not the same.
Yeah,
you know, it's a lot more of a lowbrow kind of humor, British comedy kind of aspect to it. So,
They do have a totally different sense of humor.
Yeah.
Oh well. All right. Well, I guess we can move on to some news here. If you guys think about it, in terms of online play, what is the one big blemish that everyone seems to realize is present with online play? More specifically, related to, say, Call of Duty is what the basic general consensus is, but it's pretty much present in all online content. And that would be, what would you think, man?
Well, obviously, it's the language you hear from these whiny little brats.
I see you've got some experience with that. but yeah, you're absolutely right. It's the comments that you hear a lot of times is very vulgar, you know, racist, sexist, and, you know, other kind of various,
abusive.
Yeah, comments. But yeah, it looks like Tripwire Interactive has a way to deal with that. Their new game, Killing Floor 2, is going to introduce, through the end user license agreement, that they're going to begin banning players that have racist, sexist, or any other kind of abuse comments or anything like that, or players that have been reported for such. They're just going to ban outright. Now, that could be a backlash on them for false reportings, you know, in a very similar status as swatting.
Yeah.
But, I mean, so far it sounds like through their end-user license agreement, they're going to begin bringing that, and it's going to be not limited to griefing, racist bigotry, sexism, or any other form of cyberbullying. And it says, we'll also not tolerate anyone hosting servers for the game where such behaviors are continually or repeatedly allowed to take place. And if they find that you are a cheater or you are abusive, they can revoke your CD key and banning you from the Killing Floor 2 servers and tell your mom.
Yeah, they will actually tell your mom. I don't know how.
I don't know if that's something that would actually do, but...
it's in the quote there, but, you know.
Yeah. And but then, it says, the license can automatically terminate without notice, and you'll have no right to play the Killing Floor 2 or any Killing Floor 2 mods against players or make any other use of the Killing Floor 2. End of story. So basically, they're basically saying you don't actually own the game. Because if we feel that you're not being a decent human being, we're going to take the game away from you.
Well, that's the whole point of software in general, is that you don't actually buy it, you license
it. It's sub-license, yeah.
Yeah, it's a license. So.
Well, they're definitely exploiting that, and I honestly don't have any problem with it.
No, I think that's actually a wise decision. Sure, you know, a lot of people are going to be upset about it, but yeah, you know what? Too bad. Go play Call of Duty.
Yeah, right. Yeah, basically, play nice or don't play at all.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so that's enough of that.
But speaking of Call of Duty, apparently some information has been leaked, unfortunately. So this could be good news, it could be bad news, depends on how you look at it. Appears that one of the main highlights that have been leaked is that it will support co-op for up to 4 players online. No necessarily worry about whether that'll be split screen as well or just online, unfortunately. I hope it's going to have split screen, but we don't know. I love playing split screen with people. So you'll use the same network infrastructure that supports Call of Duty's online and zombies mode. The campaign will is designed to deliver a cinematic arena style play. I don't know, for some reason that quote makes me think of Quake 4 Arena. Or Quake 3 Arena, sorry.
Yeah, totally different games. Totally different.
Apparently this mode is designed for co-op and replayability. Another new campaign feature for Black Ops 3 is that all player characters are now fully customizable, from weapons, loadouts, to abilities and outfits. I think that we kind of had that to a degree in the past, so I don't think that's really that new.
Yeah, it's not terribly new. I mean, the level of customization might be different. It might be more submersive.
Apparently there will be a new momentum-based chain movement system, which should allow players to be more fluid with movements through the environment with finesse, like controlled, you know, thrust jumps, slides, mantling abilities, and a multi-move combination.
Sounds kind of like what they already had in Gears of War.
Except Gears of War wasn't quite as fluid. It was a great system, though.
It was still pretty fluid.
Yeah. Basically, they want to give you better and more complete control over the weapons. If this is fact and not just you know false information, that's gonna be pretty sweet. Multiplayer maps have also been designed from the ground up to support the new system. There's new specialist character system, although no information available on that. Also, apparently from promotional materials, it looks like we will have zombies. Yay, zombies. And it will give us an all-new horror story. It's described as a full-game experience with its own distinct storyline.
Interesting. Now, well, all these kind of promotional stuff like that hasn't officially been
released.
It's all been leaked.
Yes.
But,
So, Black Ops 3 should be coming out November 6th, but again, that is speculation according to a leak. That could change. And there should be a pre-release beta that'll be held on Xbox One, PS4, and PC at some point in the future. So, I expect more information during E3. And then there's supposed to be a formal announcement on April 26th, which is
tomorrow. Well, so. It'll be Sunday.
Yeah. So by the time you guys get this, you'll already be passed.
Yeah. we'll take a break right now from some of that news, and we're gonna jump over to Smash Brothers, really quick. Not too much with Smash Brothers coming out right now. News has already been released, as we've talked about in the previous episode. Lucas is coming, which we may have also talked about in the previous episode. I don't remember. But, yeah, Lucas. And then various other DLC characters that have, you know, yet to be revealed or even decided at this point. Yeah. But, it sounds right now that one Mr. Masahiro Sakurai, who some of you may or may not know is the developer of the Smash Brothers series, as well as various other Nintendo games like Kirby. He seems to have a bit of a bitter taste in his mouth with DLC, because he feels that the DLCs have become more of a scam, and that those DLC scams have become a pretty bad epidemic. And basically he's saying that a lot of video game companies release unfinished games for the sake of just getting the game out there before an adversary, you know, a competing company or a brand, as an unfinished game, and then just finish off the game with patches or with DLC. Bless.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You okay there?
Nope.
No? You lose a lung?
Yep.
Okay. All right. Anyway, make sure you find it. Put it back. You kind of need that.
So dirty.
You need that.
It's push your brain back in.
We just established it was a lung, not a brain.
Yeah, looks the same.
Okay.
I dropped my pancreas.
Would you stop dropping your pancreas? You're falling apart on the floor.
What are you, an Apple computer?
Oh.
Did the watch just come out?
Yeah, I think it did, actually. Yeah, but... back on track. Actually, that reminded me of a video I saw. And I, yeah, anyway, back on track. Okay. But yeah, Masahiro Sakurai went on record saying that the growing trend of selling premium DLC has been described as a widespread scam by a key developer of Nintendo games. And that Masahiro Sakurai directed all the entries in the Smash Bros. Series, wrote in his latest Famitsu column that he believed the DLC strategies were essentially a means to charge more for the same game. Which, if you think about it, is true. Would you release a finished game for $50 or $60, or release an unfinished game for $50 or $60, claim it to be finished, and then finish the game off with DLC, each charging $5.99, $10.99, $20 for a package, when essentially to get the full finished game, you're spending $80-$90 for a game.
Yep.
You know, marketing that doesn't sound like such a bad idea, but it's pretty garbage, really.
Well, it's like that image that's going around right now. It's like video games back then, you get the full cheeseburger with everything on.
Yeah, exactly.
And then now it's like you get the buns and you gotta build your own burger, literally, but you're still paying full price for a burger, so what's the point?
Yeah, exactly. That's actually a really good reference.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, he's even said, you know, these days the DLC scam has become such the epidemic, charging customers extra money to complete what was essentially an unfinished product. And, you know, it's not specifically critical of post-release content in its entirety, but the alleged practice of holding back assets and features so that the developers can, after release, sell the content as DLC.
Yeah.
He didn't mention any... Sure, I guess now is a better time than any to.
She's trying to
clean your electronics.
She's trying to use a can of air to blow her nose.
I don't know, her nose.
Dusting off my lung.
Okay.
That's not a good idea.
She'll use a can of compressed air for that.
She'll be a little loopy on the way home.
Yeah, apparently. Just don't turn the can upside down.
Yeah.
Okay.
This stuff's not cheap either.
You testing your lung?
Yes.
Make sure it works? Okay. Like I said earlier...
Yeah, so
I
mean, basically it's just that DLC has a very bad track record in general, and he's pointing out to it. Of course, not everybody does this, but a lot of developers take advantage of people with DLC. It's just the plain honest, sad truth.
Yeah, and then to kind of counter-argue his own point, he even said, now, if you're looking to make a profit, DLC would be the way to go. Development is more costly now than ever, yet the price of the games has remained the same, so more income would help offset that imbalance. But despite suggesting that the legacy model of shipping standalone games is no longer profitable, he also claimed that the DLC solution was nevertheless an irritable one.
Yeah.
You know, he goes on to say, I completely understand how aggravated players must feel. After all, a game should be 100% done before the release date and at the time of release. And I would be livid if it were split up and sold in pieces. We're looking at you, Metal Gear. Metal Gear Solid 5 is one such game, but they're claiming that the game is so big that it has to be split into various segments.
Yeah.
Which, I can argue that because I played Metal Gear Solid 5 Ground Zeroes, and it's not as long as a full game. It's not. They could have easily fit two episodes in that one disc.
Yeah.
But they didn't. They split it into various chapters. So now we have the Phantom Pain coming out. And while I was really happy with the gameplay, I was kind of disappointed that I was finished with the game so soon. Granted, they didn't charge me full price of a game, and it was only like $25-$30. But still, that's only 20 bucks shy of a full game.
Yeah.
You know, when ultimately I'm paying the same price again for the next chapter, and then the next chapter, and then possibly the next chapter. I'm putting a lot of money into just one Metal Gear Solid 5 experience.
Yeah. I mean, that's just the way it is.
Yeah. And now, speaking of DLC. DLC!
Right?
Friday the 13th Masked Murderer Jason Voorhees will arrive in just 2 weeks to Mortal Kombat 10.
He's making his way through a lot of games. I mean, he's been in Call of Duty, now Mortal Kombat.
Yep, he's also been teased as an Easter egg in a lot of other various games, such as Grand Theft Auto and, you know, some other games. Can't think of off the top of my head right now.
Yeah, so he'll be coming out, when was it? May 5th,
I think? Let's see. Yeah, May 5th.
Yeah.
Yep, shows him that he's going to be part of the Mortal Kombat 10 roster as a playable fighter on May 5th. And they announced that this past Thursday during a special video broadcast.
Yeah.
He's going to be the first of four DLC characters coming to Mortal Kombat 10 through the game's $30 combat pack. Now, everyone can try him and other DLC characters for free, but you'll need to pay to have them permanently added to your game. So the other three fighters included in the combat pack are Tanya, who is a veteran to the Mortal Kombat series, Tremor, who I'm not entirely sure who that is, he doesn't ring a bell, and a newcomer to the Mortal Kombat series, Predator, obviously from the Predator series.
Yeah.
So if you guys haven't seen the videos for that, definitely check out YouTube and look for that Combat Pack 1
trailer. I grew up with these horror movies. I grew up with Friday the 13th and Jason and Freddy and so forth. So when I think of somebody throwing somebody like Jason into a fighting game, I'm I view it as throwing in a guy that's pretty much unstoppable.
Basically. I mean, he's always kind of been unstoppable, but he's also never really fought against people who kill for a living.
Yeah.
Just like he kills for a living.
Or some other reason.
Whatever. Exactly. But still, I mean, his whole existence right now is to kill. So are all of theirs.
Yeah.
You know.
It'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
But
how they make that work.
Yeah, it is gonna be interesting. That teaser trailer was something else though. Especially I didn't know Predator was coming until yesterday when I saw the teaser trailer for myself. I knew about Jason because I heard about that a while back. But that Predator though.
So as you know, World of Warcraft is being done as a movie through Blizzard and Legendary Pictures. Really, the only news we have on that is that it's being delayed. It's being pushed back 3 months later. So instead of coming out in March of 2016, it'll be June of 2016. They've already wrapped up shooting, apparently. So Principal Photography took about 123 days. They're doing post-production work through Industrial Light and Magic. It'll be interesting to see how this plays out. I'm not really too excited about it, but it might be good. It might not be.
Yeah. Well, the Industrial Light and Magic, they're the same people who they garnered awards for their work on the Star Wars films.
Yeah. So
they're pretty prestigious when it comes to their work. So if they're going to be involved in that in any way, I think it'd be pretty interesting to see.
Yeah, they always do good work. I mean, they've done a lot of great stuff over the years. Yeah,
and they're also going to be creating the orcs for the film.
Yeah.
Who are apparently going to be portrayed by actual actors.
Interesting.
You know, Moving on to Marvel.
Ooh.
Got a bit of Marvel here, which is fitting, considering what next weekend brings.
I know.
The Walking Dead developer partners with Disney-owned media giant for a new game. Now, Telltale and Marvel plan on releasing a game sometime in 2017. There is no name or official date out yet. However, yeah, it's rumored to be a pretty epic kind of game.
I wonder if it's going to be... When did Civil War come out? Is that 2017?
Yes.
I think so.
I wonder if it's going to be a workup.
It could be.
I believe Civil War...
Civil
War comes out...
Sooner.
2016.
Yeah.
Does it? I thought it came out this year.
No, Civil War didn't come out this year. They haven't started filming yet.
You're right. They didn't. It's supposed to come out this year.
But the Telltale game, they're pretty good. I mean, I haven't played them personally, but I know a lot of people that are Walking Dead fans.
Yeah.
Absolutely love the games. They don't necessarily follow the main storyline of the show or the comics, but they're definitely a good side story. I can kind of see them doing that with Marvel, where with, if you read the Civil War series, there were a lot of spin-offs. Because there was the main Civil War story, and then there was the one with, you know, Tony and Steve, which is where we're getting a lot of the basis for the movie from.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if that's going to be the filler.
Could be.
Maybe.
It would be interesting.
Interesting enough, though, if you listen to this announcement properly, you're going to pick up on a couple keywords. One is that it's going to be a game series. Secondly, it's also referred to as an ongoing event. So meaning this isn't going to be just a game and a done. It's going to be
one hit or quitter.
It's going to be something that's going to have follow up and, you know.
Which would kind of make sense with what I was saying, because what Jesse and I were talking about the other night, we've been watching Daredevil, which is obviously a great show and everybody should watch it.
Absolutely. And shameless promotion.
But there's so much subtle and not subtle drops to other characters, different storylines, and how they all intertwine. Of course, I got a little lost in the wiki. You know how you look up one thing and you end up in a whole different tangent. And yep. I started linking a whole bunch of things together, and it's like we came up with these crazy headcanons and theories that we could see happening. And it's like,
they all make sense. None of them are really just too far-fetched.
Yeah.
I mean,
we were saying how, obviously, spoiler, no spoiler, there's going to be the new Avengers at some point. Mm. And if you follow the comics, Daredevil, Luke Cage, Iron Fist.
The West Coast Avengers.
New Avengers. Yep.
Black Panther.
Yeah, so, you know, how are they going to bring that all in? Because they spent the whole first, you know, phase one, most of phase two, building up the Avengers. Are they going to take that much time to build up the new Avengers?
Hard to say.
Yeah, but we think that this is what they're doing with the television series.
Yeah.
It all kind of ties into Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. too.
Yep.
Right, so you got Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., then you have Daredevil. Now, Daredevil season one is complete.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is going to play a very big role in bringing us into the movie of Inhumans.
Yes. So that's another one, Inhumans, and then Black Panther later on. But
yeah,
the way it's looking like right now is Daredevil is season one is complete. Mm-hmm. Season 2 is slated for next year.
Yeah.
So we're not going to see Season 2 until 2016.
Unfortunately.
Now, that is a shame, exactly. But between that time, this time and that time, they have just about a whole, 8 months of just something else.
Because, you know, after this, then we got Jessica Jones.
Mm-hmm.
And then Luke Cage is after that. And Luke Cage and Jessica Jones are actually slated to cross paths in the show.
And we've also have a spinoff from S.H.I.E.L.D., featuring Mockingbird.
Yeah. So, you know, I can kind of see, you know, if Marvel's going to be smart about it, what, if you remember the X-Men movies, how, like,
they haven't really called him Mockingbird
for the X-Men movies, and then they carried his story over on in a video game.
Mm.
Yeah.
It kind of worked out well, but then, you know.
Well, we also know that Telltale Games is working on a new model of a game/TV show hybrid called Super Show. So if that's a success, they may use that as a foundation to build up the Marvel stuff too.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows?
Yeah, I'm also wondering, you said it might bridge into Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
But this is 2017, Civil War comes out in 2016.
I think so.
So what comes out in 2017?
installment. 17 is one.
Is the first installment of.
Is it already that soon?
Infinity. I think it's 2017, and then 2018 is part two for Infinity Wars.
Or is it Black Panther?
No, I think it's Infinity Wars.
I can't recall anymore. It's just too much.
That's so much.
I think part one of Infinity Wars comes out in 2017, and then in 2018 is part two. It may be 18 and 19, but I'm pretty sure it's 17 and 18 for parts one and two.
Regardless, there's some filler that needs to be filled, and it looks like this might be what that filler is.
And I think they're setting up for something huge.
Yeah, Marvel's got some serious plans. I mean,
they're executing it brilliantly, though.
Yeah. We know that.
I'm pretty sure at this point they've already buried DC.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
DC's, you know,
DC is trying to crawl out of their hole, and we'll get to how they're going to do that in a little bit here, or at least part of it.
Marvel real quick. You know, there's a couple of rumors and stuff going around.
Hey, while you talk, I'm going to eat my Smarties.
Okay, you eat your Smarties. Stan Lee's on the record saying, you know, Stan Lee stuff. Stan Lee's just kind of in that spot where he's allowed to say whatever he wants and nobody really said anything.
Absolutely.
Right.
You know, he's just talking to gibberish. He's like, oh, now we gotta do this movie, then we gotta go back and do this movie, and then we gotta come back and we gotta do Big Hero 6 2. And that's when the ball dropped.
Yeah, Big Hero 6 2.
So, Stan Lee is, you know, kind of on the record saying that there's gonna be a second Big Hero 6.
I think it's kind of obvious with the success of the first one.
There's gonna be a second Big Hero 6. Rumor had it that's been floating around at least for the last month or two that it's going to be called Big Hero 7, number 7 being Tadashi. Now, here's where it gets a little fishy. I'm pretty sure that this is just a rumor, and I'm pretty sure it's a false rumor because it seemed a little far-fetched in a way.
Yeah.
But basically, the general synopsis right now is that, well, the general rule is that if nobody was recovered, the character is still alive.
Yeah, the general Marvel rule is if they die, they don't really die unless their name's Uncle Ben.
Oh. Well, actually, yeah, actually.
Hold on, here's another random tangent before I forget.
Yeah,
the last Spider-Man movie, there was one of the, you know, backers in the movie wanted Spider-Man to be an EDM DJ. Because they wanted Spider-Man to be, you know, kind of a...
You're talking about Sony.
Relatable. He wanted Spider-Man to be relatable to the current generation.
Yeah,
so he wanted him to be into the, you know, all their dubstep and all that nonsense.
You're talking about Sony here. Nothing you can say about Sony wanting to do a Spider-Man would surprise me.
Yeah, so, you know, anyways, back to Tadashi. So, the strong rumor right now is that Tadashi is still alive, he's lost his memory, and he has gained superpowers. They're saying that he's being reborn as...
Sunfire.
That
if you're
would...
familiar with Marvel lore, that... Sunfire is a mutant.
Yep.
Sunfire he opens up to awesome. Hold a very prestigious title.
He's one of the four horsemen of Apocalypse.
Mm-hmm.
So, is this... Marvel trying to get in and, you know, Stonewall...
He's also a mutant that is very focused on... the area of Japan.
Yeah.
Da-da-dun.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's interesting. Like, if it's a true... If this is... You know, if there's even an ounce of truth to it, it's going to be kind of interesting because that's saying right there that Marvel is taking that, you know, rumored step out that they really are trying to stonewall Fox into, you know, no more mutants, ironically.
House of M reference.
So, you know, it's like... So, you know, you could be saying that, okay, maybe this is, you know, how Marvel is going to do it. They're just going to friggin', I can't think of the word right now, like, they're going to pressure Fox. They're going to cut them off. They're going to cut them off at every spot. They're going to, sparta them.
Sparta them? Kick them into a hole?
Just drive them all into a hole until they give up.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it is really far-fetched because why would Marvel... Cinematic Universe have Tadashi turn into an established mutant.
Unless, if they do have plans to acquire X-Men.
Yeah.
If they do it as an animated series. Much like Big Hero 6.
Yep. That could work.
It could work, yeah. I mean, the X-Men animated series have always been really popular.
And here's the thing about the X-Men, the rights for X-Men. Fox has the rights to the X-Men. They don't have rights to every mutant.
Mm-hmm.
Sunfire isn't really a mainstream mutant part of the X-Men. He's kind of a second class hero that is also a mutant. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, I mean, it's a totally different storyline. It doesn't really cross paths with the X-Men, really.
We'll see how that goes. I mean, it's interesting.
Yeah, this is all just part of rumor mill.
Sony, however, did announce there will be a new animated Spider-Man feature-length film.
Really?
And I believe Marvel is actually working with them on it, so.
Mm-hmm, we'll see. How many Smarties have you had?
Don't question things you don't want to know the answer to.
See how dumb he's getting? You can tell. Oh.
I'm about to spit a Smartie in your ear.
Okay. So how about Star Wars Battlefront?
Oh, yes.
So apparently, a lot of people have been concerned that since it's, you know, DICE is kind of working on it, and that, you know, it's going to be using some of the same engine from Battlefield, that it would be just a reskin of Battlefield. DICE has actually come out. Jesper Nelson, assistant producer, has come out saying that it is not going to be that way. It is actually going to share some similarities with, you know, shooters, but they will play quite a bit differently. It will not feel like, and it will not play like Battlefield. He doesn't quite understand the Battlefield reskin comment, you know, especially considering what they've shown and so forth. And I have to agree, this doesn't look like Battlefield to me. It looks like a new game. He says a lot of stuff here, but really that's the gist of it. You know, you don't really need to. I don't think we need to dig into it too much.
No, but I mean, it is right there. As a first person shooter player myself, I have played Battlefield. I've played Battlefield over Call of Duty countless times. I pretty much preach to it. But yeah, I mean, to some extent, all shooters are pretty much similar. All first person shooters are similar, and to some extent, all games are similar in, you know, objective content and stuff like that, but they're pretty much more or less the same. So it all depends on the person looking at it. Yeah. But I'm pretty sure a hardcore Counter-Strike player would say differences between Counter-Strike and Battlefield or Halo or Call of Duty are like day and night. And it's always about the lens that you use, and, you know, how far you actually scope in. But to some people, the details matter less, and to others, they, well, mean everything.
Yeah. Yep.
So, it's based on just your own personal opinion.
Yeah. So, for those of you that are planning to play the upcoming Batman Arkham Knight on PC, you may be in for a little bit of a shock. It's going to require a lot to run it. They've come out with the minimum requirements, the recommended requirements, and what it would take to run an Ultra. So, first thing you got to know is you're going to need a good processor. Whichever your game, if you're really a gamer, you're going to have a good processor anyways. But they're saying you should have something like a Core i5 or an AMD Phenom X4 or better processor.
That's actually pronounced Phenom. Phenom 2 X4 965.
Okay. 6 gigabytes of memory. On the minimum side is 6 gigs of memory, which is pretty darn crazy, quite honestly.
Yeah, 6 gigs of RAM almost outpowers a lot of current laptops, if it's not a high-end, powerful laptop.
They do recommend an NVIDIA GeForce GTX 660 on the minimum side. Obviously, they don't mention a AMD card there, because this is being listed on NVIDIA's website, so you can figure out which kind of card you want to go with. They do say you should have 2 gigabytes of graphics memory.
Yeah, that's
that's pretty big, too.
Yeah, that is quite a bit, but it's dedicated memory.
Yeah.
2 gigabytes dedicated RAM to your graphics card.
They suggest DirectX 11, which is not a surprise there.
No,
that's not. Obviously, broadband internet and 45 gigabytes of hard drive space.
That's a lot.
Now, if you jump up to the recommended specs, they are going to be recommending a Core i7 or an AMD FX series processor. 8 gigs of memory, and jumping up to a GTX 760 on the graphics with 3 gigabytes of dedicated memory on the graphics side, and 55 gigs of hard drive space.
Yeah, basically, between your recommended system requirements and your ultra system requirements, the only thing that changes, they're basically the same. The only thing that changes is your graphics card.
Yeah.
They recommend the NVIDIA GeForce GTX 760, while in the ultra, they're looking for the GeForce GTX 980. So yeah, it's the step up. So basically, between minimum, recommended, and ultra, each graphics card will take a step up. So you go 660 to 760 to 980.
Yeah.
You know.
And of course, on all the specs here, they do want you to run Windows 7 Service Pack 1 or Windows 8.1. And they want it, and it does specify 64-bit. So if you're running a 32-bit OS, you may want to consider reinstalling with a 64-bit disk. And putting in more hardware.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. Why is the dog sideways?
I don't know. Why is he sideways? Mage, why are you sideways?
He's trying to be funny.
Now, we've seen HD remakes in the past.
Yeah.
One current HD remake that we've seen was Street Fighter 2.
Yep.
On the PlayStation Network a couple years back.
Well, of course, you know, the Master Chief Collection has, you know, an HD remake of Halo 2,
yeah,
which
Halo
is new.
Halo 1, Halo 2.
Yeah.
You know, they came out with those with the anniversary editions, and then you had, was another HD remaster.
Kingdom Hearts. You just shocked me.
Did I?
You did, I heard.
That's funny, actually, because there's nothing to shock off of wood.
Stop shocking.
I'm standing on wood. It's not like I'm standing on carpet. Anyway. another HD remaster that we've been looking at has been announced. It's the Halo 3 ODST.
Yeah.
Now, the Halo 3 ODST should be due out in May. And they have some screenshots already released by 343 Industries. And it looks pretty good.
Yeah.
It looks pretty good. I didn't actually play ODST because I stopped playing Halo after Halo 3. and that was only because I had originally stopped playing after Halo 2, and my friend wanted me to get back into it, so I played Halo 3 with him. And then after that, I firmly vowed I was done with Halo, so I've been done with Halo for a while. But, yeah.
But the rest of us keep playing, so, yeah, so, I mean, it definitely looks pretty good. They're rehauling the campaign, reimagining, you know, kind of like how they did with the Halo 2 multiplayer maps as well. This is going to be coming into the Master Chief Collection, and those of us that were early adopters of the Master Chief Collection will be getting this for free. They're also the Relic multiplayer map remake, and the I think is on track as well. I think, yeah, we should be getting that around the same time in May as well. So it's looking pretty sweet for us here. So
Halo players, keep clinging.
Hey, I'll keep playing Halo for a long time.
The more you guys keep clinging, the more they're just gonna make HD remakes and stuff.
Well, they've been, you know, the community's been talking to developers on Halo, and, you know, saying, you know, you're doing it, you know, you're fixing the issues that you had with the Master Chief Collection. You're doing a good job taking care of the community. We appreciate you giving us ODST. But what about some of the, you know, other titles like Reach? Can you add those into the Xbox One out for us too? Mm. They haven't confirmed anything, but they are. I know that 343 is considering those. So if you want to see Reach, make sure you're talking to these guys. Make sure you're saying, hey, where, you know, ask them about it. We may just get another announcement later on.
Yeah, that's true.
It'd be sweet.
But since we're on the topic of HD remakes, surprise, another HD remake is coming out. This is the Gears of War HD remaster. And it's coming to Xbox One, since Gears of War has originally been an Xbox exclusive game.
Yeah.
Now, it's not the Marcus Fenix Collection, but it's the first Gears of War game getting the remaster treatment. Now, there may be more, which there probably will be more, because the Gears of War series was huge.
Yeah.
But it's in the process currently of being remastered for release on Xbox One. Now, the first-person shooter, as you guys know, has won numerous awards. And, I mean, it's been in runnings for top games and games of the year. And they've won multiple game of the year several years in a row. But it looks like Epic is no longer involved with the Gears of War franchise, having sold the franchise to Microsoft. But Black Tusk Studios is now in charge of the series, and they're currently working on the remaster and the current upcoming untitled sequel.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting to see how this goes. This is going to be... This is, quite honestly, we're in the boat where we were with Halo, you know, back in the day when 343 had just taken over. So now we're going to get to see how Black Tusk, you know, really goes and takes a handle on this in terms of actually how they can remaster this and keep it fresh.
Yeah.
So, but hey, it's Gears of War. We're going to have fun playing it.
Yeah. Of course. Now, there you go. This is all yours.
So, if you're running the Windows 10 developer or preview, per se, recent updates have included with the Xbox app. So, we now have game DVR, live TV, among other features that are now available. Game DVR and screenshot functionality, which are available on the Xbox One, are now available on the actual app, so you can actually utilize your PC to kind of help out with that, which is really kind of be nice. You can do live streaming TV if you have the digital tuner on your Xbox. So that's something that's nice there. And I think we're getting some updates to the Smart Glass app, which should be coming out to those of us that are on the preview program, so I should be getting that pretty soon. Among these features, we're going to get voice messages, new power saving prompt, and the ability to power on and off your console using the Smart Glass app, which is pretty cool. So that's pretty much it. I know we're also going to be getting live tiles on the Xbox app for Windows 10. It's not a big surprise there. Avatar app will be available in the Windows Store. Things of that nature. I think there's going to be a user profile options. You can mess around with that and choose how to share your real name and so forth. Mm-hmm. Better media controls and, you know. Also, the drivers for the controllers are going to be embedded into Windows 10 now. So,
well, there you go. No more having a download if you want to plug in a controller.
Yeah, so it's pretty good there. Also, as far as Windows 10 goes, in a recent meeting with AMD, board meeting, it was stated that Windows 10 is going to be released in July. However, this comes from AMD and not Microsoft, so we're not so sure that this is accurate. This could just mean that, you know, maybe it's released to manufacturing and not the final release to the public, you know, resale. We don't know really what this really means.
Yeah, it could be a plethora of different things. But more specifically, they say it should be sometime in July. Most likely sometime in the summer, definitely.
Well, we do know that Microsoft has previously said that it'll launch this summer. It's just a matter of whether AMD is actually right that it's July, or will it be earlier, will it be a little bit later, could it be delayed? You know, we don't really know. Typically, Microsoft has been releasing their new OS in the fall, right after back to school, which usually allows them to kind of sell off more of the older systems. And so forth. But, you know what? Either way, we're going to get a new system, this new Windows 10 this year. So be happy.
Mm-hmm. Now, so you guys on the Master Chief edition, the Halo Master Chief update cracks down on quitters. Now, it says the collection's latest patch goes live and has sweeping changes all across.
Yeah.
Basically, if you quit a match, your ranking will be impacted, and this may result in dropping a level. So they are making some repercussions for basically ruining other people's experience online. All quits and betrayals are being tracked automatically, and the action is being taken against offending players who commit the offenses more than what is considered normal behavior. Now, basically, with the ranking, they've made a variety of improvements on ranking, consistency, and penalties. They resolved an issue that could cause a player to rank down excessively, such as dropping multiple levels after a loss, and then resolved an issue that caused the player's rank to appear incorrectly. Based on the improvements and updates, they're going to be resetting ranking for Halo 2 Anniversary, and separately, they will begin to roll out ranks to additional playlists soon. We're hoping very, very soon, like within the next week. But they're going to start with the addition of the ranking to the Team Slayer and the Halo Championship Series playlists, and we'll be actively monitoring the ranking system across the playlists over the next few days to ensure that everything is working properly before adding ranks to additional playlists. So that's going to be their trial. Now, with your quitting and betrayals, they added the penalties to the matchmaking for quits and betrayals. In ranked playlists, if you quit a match, it's now treated the same as a loss. So quitting is defined as exiting the level in any fashion. If you quit a match, your rank will be impacted, and this may result in dropping a level. All quits and betrayals being tracked, as we said earlier. But one issue that I see with that is players that, you know, they could be in a match, they could be doing everything just right, and then see for some reason their
internet
block
goes down.
Well, their block experiences a power failure.
Yeah.
And poof, you lose power. Now you have to quit your match.
You know, usually in a system like Halo or other multiplayer games, the game can actually recognize a lot of things that are purposely quit versus just like a random, you know, disconnect.
A random occurrence.
Yeah.
Yeah, but based on what they said there, exiting the game in any fashion.
Yeah. So hard to say on that one, but.
So, I mean, I hope that's not the case, but yeah. Now, they added some other updates and stuff to...
They've made a wide variety of
Halo,
changes
Halo
to...
Halo 2 Classic, Halo 3.
To the actual campaigns. Let's see what some of the more big updates are. Looks like the Derelict is now including the rocket launcher when you select the Classic weapon set. They resolved an issue that caused incorrect bolt and grenade collision with an invisible object on the map. Yeah. And the boxer controller layout by switching the switch grenade and throw grenade buttons has been updated. On Halo 2, pretty much corrected the matchmaking team ball respawn modifier from inheritance to none, and the hitbox issue where shooting an enemy's weapon from the front would not cause damage.
I didn't even know that was an issue. But then again, like I said, I haven't played it, so.
Yeah. Halo 3 Forge has been updated. Multiple improvements to the audio in regards to like weapon fire and sound effects. Multiplayer network stability. Controller dead zones. And other issues that would affect multiplayer, sandbox, and another issue where the golf club object did not appear correctly in Forge.
Wayne, question.
Yeah.
Is there an app to download emotion to you?
No.
You need emotion. Infliction in your voice.
Yeah, it doesn't work.
Okay.
We got Halo 4.
It's not for Windows Phone.
Oh, it's
not. Oh.
No. See, go to Android, man. I got everything.
Yeah, it doesn't work. Halo 4, we've got issues where primary weapons could display in the secondary weapon slot after removing the firepower tactical package. Multiple improvements to parties. And then a few achievements. The Guardians Are Coming has been resolved so it unlocks correctly. And some of the issues with the Spartan Ops achievements. And then various stability and miscellaneous updates.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Now, for those of you guys that are into Adventure Time with Finn and Jake, the new Adventure Time 3D game titled Adventure Time, Finn and Jake Investigations is set to launch this fall for the Xbox One, PS4, and the Wii U. Little Orbit and Cartoon Network, they announced the game based on the anime TV series. And it looks like currently still in development.
Yeah.
At Little Orbit's development studio, Vicious Cycle, who made Ben 10 Omniverse. And it's set to launch in November, as we stated, for Xbox, PlayStation, and Wii U. But as well as the current gen systems, such as the Xbox 360, the PS3, and the Nintendo 3DS and PC. So not for the Wii. But I guess the Wii U kind of falls in between current gen and next gen. So it's kind of like flopping back and forth.
Yeah, pretty close.
But whereas the recent Adventure Time games like Explore the Dungeon, Because I Don't Know, and Seekers of the Nameless Kingdom were played from a top-down perspective, Finn and Jake Investigations is a fully playable 3D or fully 3D game, and it promises action, a variety of locations to explore, and, quote, mind-bending, unquote, puzzles. So yeah. This should all come together and make you feel as if you stepped into your own personal episode of Adventure Time. And it looks like it's promising to be a pretty good game. So far, they've released a couple of screenshots.
Looks pretty good.
It looks like gameplay footage, and it definitely does look very, very good. Very smooth.
So we get to go to the land of Ooh and interrogate its colorful inhabitants.
So, if you're a fan of Adventure Time, I would definitely try and follow up on this and try to keep tabs on it, see how the production's going. But
yeah,
I mean that looks really cool.
It's gonna be interesting.
Yeah,
it's gonna be interesting.
All right, moving on. We have coming up E3.
Yes, E3 is coming.
One more, so we get three.
Okay, there we go. We got three E's.
E3, which is coming up later this year, Microsoft is kind of hinted that they will be, or teasing that they are going to be focused more on first party this year, with a lot of new exclusive IP. So we're only a few months away, and that's basically it. We know that they're going to be focusing on a lot of first party. Of course, you know, Halo 5 is going to be a big part of that, but also a lot of new intellectual property that we've never heard of before. Stuff they've been under wraps for quite a while, and I'm very excited to see where things are going from here. So we know that there's going to be, you know, most likely news on of course, Halo 5, Forza Motorsport 6, Crackdown, Phantom Dust, and so forth.
If you're unfamiliar with what an IP is, as he's already said earlier, it's intellectual property, but if you're unfamiliar with what a new IP pretty much means, is Halo is not a new IP.
No.
Gears of War is not a new IP. If you look at Nintendo, Smash Brothers is not a new IP. Mario Brothers is definitely not a new IP. Splatoon is a new IP. Okay, it's a brand new, totally from scratch game that isn't like any other game that they have. It's not part of any other previous series. That's what a new IP is. So, for Microsoft to say that they're looking at a bunch of new IPs, like an exclusive IPs, that means they're just going to be Xbox exclusives, you know, brand new, fresh off the press video games.
Yeah. One of those actually might be, because they keep going back and forth and not trying to tell anybody about it, but the rumor is there may be a expansion to Horizon 2, kind of like what they did with Fast and Furious, but this expansion would focus on the vehicles of Halo.
Huh.
Now, of course, that's not going to happen.
That'd be interesting.
It would be interesting, but it's not going to happen.
Yeah. Well, if you guys have played Mass Effect, well, it looks like Mass Effect 4 details have apparently been leaked online.
Yeah. I take this with a grain of salt.
Of course. As with any leak, you take it with a grain of salt. But, it's possible that a pretty large payload of Mass Effect 4 has been released. And basically the premise that we've gathered is it's set in the Helios cluster of the Andromeda Galaxy, are removed by time and space from the Mass Effect Commander Shepard trilogy and its ending. You play as a Pathfinder explorer leading an expedition with the aim of establishing a new home for humanity. encounter savage, untamed lands, cutthroat outlaws, and warring alien races in an effort to survive the colony, and colonize. Andromeda is home to a mysterious alien race, the Remnants, who've left their vaults and ancient technology throughout. Objective seems to be explore hundreds of solar systems over four times the size of Mass Effect 3, collecting resources, developing your ship, crew, and arsenal, while engaging in diplomacy in order to set up the colonies, all while discovering the mystery behind the Remnants and racing to secure their technology.
So in other words, it sounds like it's going to be Civilization.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, that's what it kind of sounds like.
I don't know. This doesn't quite sound that awful fun at this point. I really enjoy playing the first two Mass Effect games. Mass Effect 3 was fun, but it was kind of devastating when you got to the end, and it was like, what did they do here?
Yeah. Of course, how it's kind of been for everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, engaging in diplomacy.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, yeah, you
kind of... Was that sarcastic for just going in there and blowing crap up?
I don't know. I mean, you had to be diplomatic in certain things in Mass Effect to begin with, but there was a lot going on. It wasn't just focusing on very little. It was, you know, it was a very action-centered game. This makes it sound like there's no action. It's just, you know, running around collecting stuff to build things.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe it's just, you know, without Shepard, there's just no direction anymore, no leadership, and they can't do anything. I don't know.
But I guess we'll hear more if they decide to actually...
We'll probably hear about it during E3, hopefully. Yeah. But you know what? I don't know if I'm really excited about the series anymore. I mean, it's... I don't know.
I personally never really got into the series. What are you eating? I'm not eating anything. Oh, you're talking Mage. Mage, what are you eating? I don't think he's eating anything.
Yeah. So how about everybody's favorite captain, Malcolm Reynolds? Nathan Fillion is going to be returning to Firefly in Firefly Online, and then the actually officially licensed video game that's coming out. It's being put together by Sparkplug Games and Quantum Mechanics with an X. So we pretty much know that. Quite a few people are returning cast members include Adam Baldwin as Jane Cobb, Summer Glau as River Tam, Ron Glass as Shepard Book, Joel State as Kaylee Fry, Marina Bakarin as Anara Sera, and Alan Tudyk as Wash. But I don't think we have an actual release date or when this will come out. Other than that, it's supposed to be later this spring for PC, Mac, and mobile games.
Interesting. So. I mean, that sounds pretty cool. I've never actually played it. Don't know what it is.
Well, Firefly is actually a TV series.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah, and you just lost a lot of fans for not knowing that.
Hey, you know what? I have my own fans. I'm okay.
I know. Actually, if you haven't watched Firefly, you probably should. It was a really good series that was unfortunately canceled. And people have been trying to get it picked back up for ages now. But, you know what, this is a good first step, getting a new game going out. I'll definitely be looking into this when it comes out. It sounds like it could be fun. It's supposed to be kind of a blend of multiplayer role-playing with, you know, social elements and so forth. So we'll see what that comes forward there.
Yeah.
Back onto the track of DC, I guess, we could talk about... Frank Miller. He is actually coming back to DC to write a third chapter in the Dark Knight series.
Yep, and it's supposed to be called The Dark Knight 3, The Master Race.
So, yeah. Basically, what we know is he's coming back. He's writing this as a, you know, a sequel to Dark Knight Returns. Which was one of the, a follow-up to The Dark Knight Strikes Again, actually, sorry, which was one of the most acclaimed series from DC over the last several years. And he's thrilled to be back doing this, and he's going to be working with Brian
Brian Azzarello.
Azzarello. There you go. Yeah. I was thinking the name and I couldn't think of it. Ah.
Yep, and he's known for 100 Bullets, Joker, and Wonder Woman.
Yeah. So, I mean, they're both thrilled to be working on this, although they both recognize that this is going to be a huge challenge to really bring this back and actually be at the same level that they were back in the day. And Miller has actually tweeted some images, or tweeted an image that with Batman kind of leaning over a bloody Superman
symbol,
yeah.
That's interesting. I mean, it makes it look like another death of Superman kind of thing.
It's hard to say with Miller. I mean, he's got a very, very good storytelling about him, but he's also very dark in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
He does really good work. So.
Yeah. Now, there've been some talks, some leaks, some rumors going around about the Elder Scrolls. Releasing another game coming up soon, and it's supposed to be the Elder Scrolls 6 Valenwood. Now, how true that is, I don't know. I mean, I saw something on it and it psyched me out immensely, so I just freaked out about it. But when I tried to dig a little deeper into it, I couldn't find too much about it. But if they are planning on making a sixth installment into the Elder Scrolls series, obviously, we're not counting the Elder Scrolls Online as one of the installments. But if we are looking at an Elder Scrolls 6 Valenwood installment, it would probably be announced at E3. But yeah, I mean, I hope that's an actual thing, because that'd be an amazing thing. Wouldn't you agree?
It'd be interesting.
It would be very interesting.
I never really got into those games, unfortunately, so...
Yeah. Also, another game-related topic... PT, if you guys are not familiar with, it's the playable teaser. It stands for playable teaser, technically, but it's from originally stated some bogus studios, but at the very end it actually reveals that it's from the same creators of Metal Gear. You got Mr. Hideo Kojima with Mr. Guillermo del Toro making the new Silent Hills, and the PT game was playable teaser, and it was available for free on PlayStation Network. I'm not sure if it was for Xbox or what, but I know it was definitely for PS4, but it's preparing to be removed from PlayStation Store, so don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I don't know if they're removing it because there has been an issue with the upcoming Silent Hills game, but or if it was they're removing it because they're preparing to release Silent Hills. I'm not sure, but if you haven't picked up the game yet, it's free. Just go ahead and download it, and it's a great thing to show people who have no idea what it is, and you kind of want to show off the power of PlayStation. That's a great, great demo. A great demo.
And then I think Mimi wanted to talk about Suicide Squad.
So, yeah. One of the first pictures from Suicide Squad has popped up. It came out last night. And the internet's obviously been a buzz about it. Hearing a lot of negative about it. Personally, I don't see any negative about it. But, you know, the naysayers, it's like, oh no, you know, Heath Ledger was the best Joker ever, or I can't believe we have Marilyn Manson for the Joker now, or why did we get this emo dude to be, you know, Joker? I'm like, okay, one, you don't know what emo is. Two, it's the Joker.
Yeah.
He's, you know, for lack of a better term, he's batshit crazy.
Yeah.
In more ways than one.
More ways than one.
I think there was all kinds of pun intended on that one.
Yeah, so I guess, yeah.
So, you know,
I don't know what you expect. I mean, Suicide Squad is supposed to be a more recent...
Yeah.
Timeline, time frame, you know, retelling story, whatever you want to call it.
A little bit darker
characters.
So
naturally, it's going to be a little more modern. It's going to be a lot more colorful than some of the other DC movies that we got going on right now. So, naturally, you'd want a over-the-top comical Joker, which is what we get.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you haven't seen the pictures yet, we got a link up on our Facebook. You can go ahead and check it out. Obviously, he's got the green hair going on. He's got the you know, pasty white clown complexion going on.
Yep. He's also teasing one singular, one purple glove.
Yep.
What?
His picture.
Yeah.
He's showing one purple glove.
Okay, he's only one purple glove.
Which I think might be a teaser to his outlook of, you know, with the suit and the purple gloves on.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll see how that goes. But the most striking thing for most people is that he's heavily tattooed.
Yep.
Not only does he have chest tats, he's got arm tats. He also has a tattoo across his forehead.
Yep. Yeah. And on his cheek.
Okay. Big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know.
It's expected with the modern Joker.
The modern Joker, you know, what I was saying was that, you know, if there was a modern day Joker, I totally believe that he'd be a meth head.
Yeah, now this is all to celebrate the 75th anniversary of the Joker.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's also why the picture came out of the celebration. Mm-hmm.
See, for all those that are naysayers about, you know, Jared being Joker and saying that Heath Ledger was the best Joker ever, well, I come from a long history of Batman where, for me, the best Joker up until Ledger was Jack Nicholson.
Yeah.
So it's only natural for me to sit there and go, okay, wait a minute. You got to give these guys a chance because there will be somebody better than Heath Ledger at some point.
Yeah. It could very well be Jared Leto.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, he did a
Here's
great
the thing, though. Like,
he did a
okay,
great job.
People love Nicholson because he's the funny Joker.
Yeah.
People like Ledger because he's the dark Joker.
Yeah.
I firmly believe, you know, with my history of what I know Jared Leto is, the movies that he's been in, the way he presents himself, the way he presents himself with the musician, is that he's going to be that go-between between a dark
and
very, very much
comical Joker, which is that's the feel that I'm getting from the picture.
And honestly, that's probably what the perfect balance of Joker would be.
That's the perfect balance of Joker, and that's the perfect balance of Joker you want for Suicide Squad.
Yeah, it's also true. And I've been saying this for a while, especially to Mimi. There's going to be a huge, huge number of fans. They're going to be disappointed. They're going to be mad. They're going to be, you know, just ranking on Jared Leto just because he's not Heath Ledger. And that's sad.
Yeah.
That really is sad. I mean,
judge him by his performance, not by what he's been cast as.
Yeah, I mean, not even that. They're just judging him because of who he is.
Well, that's true.
That's even worse.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the textbook definition of judging a book by its cover.
And a lot of the movies that he's been in have been a heavier tone movie, so a lot of this current generation is not familiar with his body of work.
Exactly, yeah.
True.
So, you know, a lot of people, this generation only knows him as a musician.
Yeah.
He's a very good method actor. Mm-hmm. He goes dark really well.
He does. He can also bounce back and forth.
So, you know, I have the utmost faith that he's going to do a good Joker for the sake of being the Joker.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to be, you know, Heath Ledger, obviously. He's not going to be Jack Nicholson. That's not why he's there.
Yeah. And, you know, I was actually having a conversation on Facebook with a few friends of mine based on this exact topic today, actually. And basically what we were talking about is the Dark Knight Joker portrayed by Heath Ledger would not fit into the Suicide Squad scenario. It just, that Joker wouldn't
fit.
No,
he wouldn't.
So,
like, can you just imagine how depressing and mundane a movie would be to have a Heath Ledger Joker with Harley Quinn?
Yeah, it wouldn't be that all that great.
No.
He was too gritty, he was too dark, he was too shadowy. The only remnants...
It worked for the movie, it worked for the Dark Knight series.
Yeah, exactly, because the Dark Knight series as a whole went gritty. They went very dark as a basic premise. They didn't have it as a factor. They added it. They had it as the general world. The general.
I guess if you look at it that way, if you look at the Dark Knight Joker versus the Suicide Joker, the difference is that at the point where it is the Suicide Squad, Harley Quinn actually brings out a little bit more humanity out of the Joker.
She does. I mean, that's her basic thing. She was
a psychologist.
That's her whole profession.
But it's more of the relationship between the two that brings out something out of the Joker that you wouldn't expect to normally see.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
I mean, I'm pretty sure we're all in agreement. This is going to be an interesting move. And we have the highest faith in Jared Leto to be a great
I'm honestly more excited for Suicide Squad than I am for Batman vs. Superman.
Yeah, actually. Yeah. I don't really know what to expect for Batman vs. Superman. I'm kind of scared to go into the theater and
see
that.
The only thing I could expect is to see a Batman in an armored suit.
I know! What? Why? I don't want to see another Iron Man with bat wings. Yeah. I would rather see the Stan Lee Batman than that.
Yeah.
Which would be more of an X-Men movie.
That would.
It's just going to be, you know, Batman and Iron Man, you know, throwing money
at Spider-Man just picking up the cash that falls on the floor. Well, I think that's about it. I mean, that's all we have time for today.
One last thing is I have been taking and been catching up on the Transformers comic books from IDW, with the it's Robots in Disguise is now become the Transformers, and then you have More Than Meets the Eye, and then we've started getting back into Windblade has their own series again too, all of them tying into the same core storyline of the Combiner Wars, which I'm still working on getting caught up for it. But as of where I'm at now, these are comic books you do not want to miss. This is an epic story that is blowing people's minds. That is all.
Ooh, I have something to contribute that I thought of on my own.
Oh! Yeah.
It's
going to
be May, right? May's next week.
Yeah.
I swear, if you make a Backstreet Boy reference, I'm kicking you out.
Well, the song was by NSYNC, not Backstreet Boy, so you're fired. Anyways...
Who would know that?
Apparently she does.
Anyways, I guess it was a little before your time, huh?
No, it was definitely during my time.
Anyways, the Smithsonian is offering a course on superheroes throughout history and how they're impacted.
Yes.
The course, there are two ways. You can take the course for free, and you'll get, you know, a little, hey, yay, you completed. Or for $50 or more, however much you want to donate, for minimum $50, you get a signed certificate from the person curating the course, which is Stan Lee himself.
Ooh.
Now, another aspect of that is this course can be...
You get a certificate for it. I mean, it's something you can put on your resume. It's a certified course. You can put it down that I took a class on superheroes and their impact throughout history, the origins of superheroes and how they came to be and how they affect us in modern times. To me, that's a very, very interesting course that I did sign up for. It starts, and it's also a free-paced course, so you don't have to, you know, show up every Tuesday to watch the slideshow, take a quiz and whatnot. Self-paced, you read the material at your own. You know, at your own pace, you watch his videos, Stanley obviously talking about it. I mean, I could just sit, you could pay, you know, I would just sit there and listen to Stanley talk about the history, you know.
Yeah.
It's Stanley!
Right?
He's got one of those, you know, he's got that distinguishable voice.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I'm sorry, I'm really stoked about it.
Yeah, it's going to be definitely, pretty awesome course.
I'll definitely keep you guys, you know, updated on that as I go through the course. It's not too late to sign up. Just head over to the Smithsonian site, or if you're following Stanley on Facebook, he's been talking about it a little bit. So there's a little few links here and there.
Okay.
But you know, if you do donate to the Smithsonian, a minimum of $50, you get that certificate saying that you completed the course and it is signed by Stanley.
That's interesting.
Pretty cool stuff. I mean, if you want to divulge a little more into superhero lore instead of just, you know, what's going on in the movies.
Yeah. Very nice.
Oh, yeah.
I might want to look into that.
Yeah. Ooh. I'm definitely going to be checking it out. But, I think that's all we got time for today.
Make sure to keep checking on the site. We've got new stuff coming up.
Still got that giveaway going.
Oh, yeah. Mimi, how's that giveaway going?
It's going. we did have a giveaway. It was launched on Easter weekend, and none of you looked at it because you're a bunch of jerks.
Oh.
Anyways, we're giving away a GoPro Steady Arm, which is basically it's an attachment that swiveled onto your GoPro, so you can run around with the camera and it'll be steady. No wobbly wibbly.
No wibbly wobblies.
No wibbly wobbly timey wimey things.
But the important thing is we want one of you to win it.
Yeah.
We do.
So, the only way to win it would be to enter the contest.
I'm going to rewrite it because none of you wanted to give me any cosplay videos.
Oh.
A bunch of jokes.
All right, so we're gonna relaunch the giveaway some way or another, but something different. So
come on, you're definitely gonna want it. You got Anime Expo coming up. Ooh. You got San Diego Comic Con. You got Dragon Con coming up the month right after that. Why don't you want the study camp? You see the stuff that D-Pity puts out when he's walking around the convention, you know, first person perspective of what you experience at a convention. Why wouldn't you want to take video of that? Why wouldn't you want to make it easier? It's popular, it gets views on YouTube. Get yourself that 15 minutes of fame, and it's free.
Exactly.
Okay, quick, free. Quick. Grab the duct tape and make her shut up.
Alright.
All right, now we're going to get a GoPro and hook it up to Mage.
That is true. We are planning to do something like that.
Okay.
Hey, first perspective from Mage's point of view.
Yeah.
Okay, so check us out on Facebook. Like our Facebook page.
Share us. Tag us.
Do whatever you got to do.
Spread us around.
But do something. And check back. We do a podcast every week. And with that, we're signing off. That's been the Shot of Games podcast. See you next time.
See what I did there?